Turn with me, book of Daniel, please. Chapter number 3, book of Daniel, chapter number 3. I think you probably know this story. I'm going to start in verse number 14. We find that Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image of himself. It was kind of an odd-looking image because it was only 12 feet wide and 60 feet tall. It was an image of him, and it was one in which all the people were to bow down before. Matter of fact, we find it was set up in the plain of Dura. It was one of the provinces in Babylon. And those who were there, when the music began to play, were to fall down before it. But we find that there was three guys who didn't do it. Go back to verse 13. I was going to say 14. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Why? Because they wouldn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour to the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace one time, seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said to his counselor, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth, or the form of the fourth, is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this tremendous portion of Scripture. Lord, a story that we've heard since the days we were very young, and yet how powerful, how choice are its words, how wonderful is its message. Oh God, today, Spirit of God, impress upon us, to each one of us, that which you have for us. Lord, I know in this room today lie many different needs. Some perhaps don't even realize they have one. But God, you're the one who meets them. I pray you might bless and work. Glorify yourself in our midst, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. From the very beginning of their captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, we find that there was four men that the Bible speaks of that were quite different than any of the others. We find that they are, as we normally remember them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They possessed a boldness that can only come from having a confidence that is completely in God, knowing that He is right in all things. Immediately, we can learn some things from these men as we look at their very names. For we know that the Jew, when they named their children, had great purpose in that. The name Daniel is an interesting one. It means God has judged. You go to Hananiah, his name means God has been gracious. Mishael, interesting. It means who is what God is. It's a question. It's a question of awe. Who is what God is? And Azariah means God has helped. In chapter 1, in verse number 4, we find that as they brought some captives back to Babylon, the king had said in verse 4, children whom was no blemish but well favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Notice what he says, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. They had brought these Jewish young men for the specific purpose of changing them to be a tremendous help and blessing to the nation of Babylon. They had seen some character, they had seen some physique, they had seen some intelligence in these men. And their purpose now was to erase any testimony of God in them, and to use their expertise, their ability, their physical stamina to be a help to the Babylonian people. Thus we find that Daniel's name, which means God has judged, was changed to Belteshazzar, which simply means Lady, protect the king. Hananiah was changed to Shadrach, and rather than God has been gracious, his name now means I am fearful of a God, little g. Mishael, who had this name of all, who is what God is, was changed to Meshach, which means I am despised, contempted, contemptible, humbled before a God, little g. Azariah, which means God has helped, was changed to Abednego, which simply means a servant of Nebo, which was a Babylonian god. Here are men that I believe that had been taught by their parents, if I judge by their names, a fear of God. I believe some men here who had parents that taught them in the ways of God and how to live. And their dogged determination went away from parents and away from homeland. Helped them from the very beginning to stand for the things of God. I ask the question this morning, how is it that these men could have such abandonment of personal preservation, they would be walking with God in a fiery furnace? How is it this could all take place? I believe we could sum it all up and say they were people who knew God. Not just about God, but they knew God and walked with Him on a daily basis. What made these three men stand fast in devotion to God when the pressures of this world was so enormous? You know, we live in a day and age when the pressure has become more and more upon God's people. We have this wonderful thing in the workplace called sensitivity training. And basically what it means is, Christians, shut up. We don't want you talking about your God and causing problems in our workplace. You need to be sensitive to the needs of others. And though we are, because they need Christ, they don't understand that. We live in a day when the onslaught of media is against God's people, people who have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is horrendous, the things that are being said and done today against those who call upon the name of the Lord. I believe at this point we have a government that is changing in its policy and recognition of God's people. I fear that in days close ahead, we may experience severe persecutions simply because we stand for the things of God. Are we going to stand fast in the face of such things? Could we today, if the furnace sat before us, stand and declare, as these three did, we're not careful to answer thee? I want you to know, King Nebuchadnezzar, that our God's able to deliver us. But if He doesn't want to, we're standing with Him anyways. And in the face of Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful ruler that's ever been upon the face of the earth, he's the head of gold of the vision that was seen in chapter number 2. These three men said, we're not doing what you tell us to do. Because you see, there is one God, and it's not you. And we're not bowing down to an image that is declaring you to be God. It was in that first century, in the days of the Caesars, that Christians went to the catacombs of Rome, were given to the centurions and the soldiers, and given to the gladiators and to the lions, and lost their lives. Did you ever know why? Because once every year in the land of the Roman Empire, you had to declare Caesar to be God. And Christians said, well, those who stood said, not going to do it. Not going to do it. It would be like in our modern era that they came and said, all you got to do, you can keep on operating this church, you can do anything you want. All you got to do is say, Obama is Lord. That is a real distasteful place in my mouth. But do you understand and realize that there would probably be thousands of Christians? Because they would somehow in their mind say, you know, if I do that, I can keep on testifying for the Lord. And we can keep on with our church. We can keep on doing these things. And yet there are men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Though their names have been changed, they've been taught all the learning of the land of Babylon. Yet they remembered and they stood fast in their devotion to God. What caused that? I believe, first of all, is because they had a good beginning. They had a good beginning. You see, I believe because, and I mentioned it, I believe because of their names, they evidently had some parents. They had some people in their early lives who had taught them some principles about God. They knew from their parents' teaching they were not to eat certain foods. The Jew was to separate himself. Of course, we know that a Jew was not to eat anything that was from the hog. They weren't to eat pork. They weren't to eat bacon. Sure glad I'm not a Jew. And they weren't to eat some of these things. It was a sign of their separation unto God. They had some teaching. They had some foundation. And though Israel at this time was being judged by God because they had walked away from God, though the nation as a whole was not serving God, though the nation as a whole had now been brought into captivity under judgment under Nebuchadnezzar, and God had used that, God had brought him on the scene for that very purpose, and yet there was a remnant, there was a small group of people who still stood for God. And amongst those who were taken captive were some children who were raised in some of those homes. And when they got to a foreign land, they still stood for their principles. Their determined actions, by the way, spoke to some of the people in Babylon. When you go back to chapter number 1, we find that as they go to the guards and say, hey, give us a chance to prove to you otherwise, God allows that in their lives. Brethren, I say to you, if there's a need in our day and our age, it is for us to learn from the very beginning. There is a must for you and I as adults to teach our children, to raise them up in the things of God, to put into them some determination to stand for God. Because the days are going to get more wicked. Do you know in the United States of America, there's a law in the books that when you start a job, you're to be given religious liberty. In other words, when you start a job and you say, hey, listen, I'm a Christian and I'm not going to work on Sunday. And they hire you knowing that you have taken that stand. They cannot fire you when you have done that. And they say, you got to work on Sunday. You say, no. It's still a law in the country. Do you know that? It's a law for Christians ought to take advantage of and realize, hey, I can stand for God. By the way, if that law was not on the books, we still ought to make our stand for some things. Amen? We ought to do that. There are so many things that are trying to encroach upon us, and we need to, in the very beginning, set that pace. We need to be very gracious in how we do it. We don't need to be in your face. But there must be that good beginning. And I believe these men had that. I believe there's something else we can look at these men and think about. We find that after the time of Daniel interpreting the dream, that they were promoted. If you turn back to chapter number 2, actually in chapter 1, verse number 19, it tells us something there. It says, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. God had blessed them because of their determination not to eat the king's meat. We find Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And Daniel and his three friends go to God, and God gives them the interpretation of that. And we find something takes place. The last verse of chapter 2, then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. These three guys, they be put over this province, over the affairs of it. They have a place of promotion. Daniel is sitting in the gate of the king, in even a higher advanced position. I say to you this morning, these are men who not only started right, but whatever took place in their life did not change them. They might have had changes happen outwardly, but it did not change them. Because of their character, they were promoted. But even, in their position and in their wealth, they cared more for the actions to God than anything else. Verse 16 that we read a while ago in chapter number 3, the latter portion says, "We are not careful to answer thee in this manner." That does not mean they were reckless. It means when they say, "We are not careful." We are not careful or full of care for ourselves. And we're going to answer you according to what God wants. And they stood against this king. And they said, "We want you to understand something very clearly. We're not bowing to you. It is God whom we bow before." God had to use this time to show Nebuchadnezzar something. Nebuchadnezzar, as we later find out in chapter 4, comes to know God. But there's some things in his life. He's the head of gold in the vision he has in chapter 2. If I understand that vision right, that shows him to be the greatest leader that ever lived upon the face of the earth. He had that dream, and these men interpreted it through the power of God, but didn't seem to affect him for God. Now these three men will not bow down before this image that he has set up. And later we find that God has to take him out in the pasture and take away all of his sins and let him eat grass like a cow for 7 years. Before Nebuchadnezzar really accepts God. But I want you to see something. Nebuchadnezzar recognized something about these three guys. Verse number 28. Nebuchadnezzar, after bringing them out of the furnace of fire, out of this place that was so hot, the men who cast them in were killed immediately. These men who had been wrapped up in more clothing they normally wear, who were cast into this fire that they might be burnt for their rebellion against this false god Nebuchadnezzar. These men who did not have any fire upon their clothing, did not have their head singed, their hair singed. These men who did not even have the smell of smoke. Think about that one. They come forth. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word." And notice the next four words, "and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." I think of Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's not unreasonable to do that. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here were men who gave their bodies. Gave their bodies. It has no sides, but let's pretend this morning. An offering basket. During service, we pass one up and down the rows. We take some bills out of our billfolds and our purses, and we place them in there. I don't know if you've ever done it. I'm sure it's happened on a few occasions, but normally there's leftovers. And God has shown us from the Old Testament, I believe the New as well, that what is really His, and we ought to give back to Him, is a tithe, and then there's offerings on top of that. And so we place that in the offering. That money is a representation of something. Christine, you work. You work at Hy-Vee. Who in this room doesn't? This church either works for Hy-Vee or a bank. I guess we got plenty of money and plenty of food. You work and they pay you by the hour. Can I ask you, what are you, about $8 an hour? All right, so they give you $8 for an hour of your time. Okay? So when you come to church and you put $8 in the offering basket, what have you put in there? An hour of your time. Do you know what 8 times 168 is? It's a pretty good size number. Okay? We're getting up around $1,400. If all of your time is worth that and you were to give all of your time and do it in money, that's the amount you would put in. You know what God is asking from us? God is not asking us to give $8 for every hour or whatever yours might be. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Step into the plate yourself. Give yourself. You know what that means, Stephen? All of your time, everything. You say, well, Pastor, I don't work in the church. Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. It's not the title of your job. It's giving yourself to God to do it, whatever it is. To live for Him, to be His servant 24/7. I'm here at your disposal. If God would say, no, I want you to go there now, I want you to go to the mission field. What's that mean? That's what we do. It's whatever. It's giving ourselves to Him. Yielded their bodies. You say, does God expect me to put my very life on the line and put it in the furnace of fire? I have a very easy answer for that. Yes. Well, that's pretty much everything. getting the picture. God wants us to yield ourselves. These guys yielded their bodies. Have you noticed, Sterling, everywhere your body goes, you go? I'm here, I move my body over here, and I go over here. Does anybody still see me over there? Am I still over there? No, I'm where my body goes. I'm just everywhere it's at. Unless you're one of these weird ones that have out-of-the-body experiences. Where do these people come from? I've had all my experiences in my body. I dream sometimes. Those aren't real. Sometimes they seem pretty real, but they're not. What'd they do? They yielded up their bodies. They're saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. God, what is it you want me to do? And it's following Him and allowing Him to take you through all that is there. He says, that mean that one of these days I might actually experience the fire? Yeah. I found out fires are pretty good. They burn away that which is not needed. Do you know what wasn't needed in their lives and got burned away? Do you ever think about it? Their guards. They still need their clothes. They still need their minds. They still need their hair. But you know what I like about these three guys? They said, even if God doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing down to you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Babylonian names we most normally know them by, were not heroes because they came out of the fire. They were heroes because they went in. They were heroes because they said, we are going to stand for God. God on this occasion delivered them. But it's interesting that I find in the book of Hebrews that it talks about some who were not delivered. Remember the words, some were sawn asunder? But you know what? What these three men said was true. Those who were sawn asunder were delivered from the wicked men who held the saws and taken into the presence of God. John R. Rice stood in a tent meeting preaching, and some men rode up and they said, you're going to shut up or we're going to kill you. And John R. Rice looked straight at those men and he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. It's the wind inside, amen? What's God wants to do? Just step in the offering basket. He said, well, that's quite a bit. No, it's everything. It's everything. Give ourselves to God. Let Him do what He wants. Who knows where He might take you? You know where He took these three? He gave them a promotion. Yeah. That's our God. Oh, the guy's falling asunder? You say, well, that wasn't a promotion. It was a bigger one. Yeah. Into the presence of God. Where are you at today, brother? Seriously, only you know. I can't read your heart. I can look at things on the outside and I can make my so-called guesses, but I don't know your heart. Do you really belong to Him? He said, well, I've accepted Christ my Savior. That's not what I'm talking about today. Does He have your all? Have you yielded your body? Whatever He wants. It's important to do that. Maybe you need to come down here today and just pretend like that's an offering basket and stand there and say, God, here I am. Whatever you want. If that hasn't been your choice in times past, today ought to be. Let God have His way. Father, today, work in hearts. Lord, you know us. You know our needs. You know where we're at in our relation with You. Lord, you deserve nothing but the best. You deserve our all, not a portion. Our very bodies. Lord, I pray today that You would work on hearts and lives. Father, I pray that as we walk out of here, we might walk out of here committed solely and completely to You. Father, perhaps there's one here today, we've not really preached on it, but they need Christ, their Savior. I pray that You would deal with their soul. Today would be a day of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.